ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, how shall we liken the kingdom of God? It is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the earth, though it be less than all the seeds that are sown upon the earth, yet when it is grown, groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and putteth out great branches, so that the birds of the heaven come and lodge under the shadow thereof. It is written, the earth beareth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. It is written, is a lamp brought to be put under the bushel or under the bed, and not to be put on the stand? It is written, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
For God is just a prayer away.
Behold, the sower went forth to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. And others fell on the rocky ground, where it had not much earth, and straightway it sprang up, because it had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And others fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell upon the good ground, and yielded fruit, growing up, and increasing, and brought forth 30-fold, and 60-fold, and 100-fold. Lift up your eyes unto the fields, that they're already white unto harvest. Go then, ever weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss sustained, our spirits often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome, for we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest, and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, behold, the sower went forth to sow, from Mark chapter 4. The sower went forth to sow seed. The seed that is sown here is not the seed of wheat, corn, barley, rye, tobacco, or even marijuana. The seed is identified as the Word of God. The seed is the Word. There are many sermons today that don't have any likes. I like to hear a sermon that has likes in it. In Matthew's account of this event, he uses over and over again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. The sermons of Jesus had a lot of likes. Sometimes a preacher may tell us accurately the meaning of a text, but we cannot understand what he says unless he puts some likes into it. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Here is what it is like. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. Sometimes a sower goes out but does not do much sowing. The job of the sower is to sow. The job of the sower is not to analyze the soil. His job is to sow. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. Sometimes the preacher will analyze the soil and figure that nothing will grow except in the suburbs. On the God Is Just a Prayer Away broadcast, we are sowing the seed. It is basically a seed-sowing ministry. The seed falls on all types of ground. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. When the Lord saw a great multitude, he entered into a boat, and the multitude stood on the beach. Jesus used a boat as a pulpit to preach the gospel. Jesus did not confine his preaching to the formal setting of the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He had preached in the synagogue at his hometown of Nazareth and was bodily thrown out. He preached in the synagogue at Capernaum and was hollered down by a man with an unclean spirit. Today we cannot afford to confine our preaching to the Sunday morning service as much as the devil would like to see us do it. It is not so much a matter of how many come in to our Sunday services as it is how many go out after coming in to take the message elsewhere. The churches of America are filled every Sunday, and that is as far as their religion goes. After the final amen, it is goodbye God until next week at this same time. Somewhere I have seen what is called the Litany of the Apathetic. It goes something like this. We have the most wonderful minister. Isn't that nice? We have the most harmonious music. Isn't that nice? We meet our budget every week. Isn't that nice? We have a multi-million-dollar building. Isn't that nice? We feel inspired and soothed in every service. Isn't that nice? Our Lord and Master died in agony on a cross for our sins to save us from hell. Now, isn't that nice? So he entered into a boat and sat by the seaside. What a pulpit this was! Everybody could see the preacher and hear to the best advantage. I am like the Lord, at least in this particular case. I want to be seen. I object to being hid from view by flowers left over from a funeral. I am a live preacher with a live message, and I want them to see the rose of Sharon and the lily of Valley during the message. It is not a matter of being impressed with an ornate pulpit, but can they be impressed with the cross? Indirect lighting may have its place as long as the people can see the light of the world. Mark says that Jesus sat as he taught. This was the usual thing for a teacher, but it may be that he also sat because a boat makes a mighty shaky pulpit. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, any pulpit is a pretty shaky place to stand. A popular musical of bygone years had a song that proclaimed, "Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat." Ladies and gentlemen, the crowd had assembled. The preacher was in his pulpit, and it was time for the service to begin. There's no record given that tells us that Peter, Andrew, James, and John sang as a quartet before the message of Jesus, and that would have been all right if they had. But how could they in this case? They had no piano on the beach. They had no keyboard on the beach. And they did not even have a tuning fork or a pitch pipe. We can be sure that this crowd would never come back to hear Jesus again, because you have to have something to entertain the worshipers. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. First of all, he sowed on the wayside. As the sower sowed the seed, some fell on the wayside. Now, this was a strange way to sow seed. He sowed the seed on hard ground. I don't know of any farmer who ever goes out to sow seed and sows it in the middle of the interstate. Actually, however, sowing the seed in the middle of the interstate is not a bad idea. Hundreds of you who are listening to this message at this moment are on the interstate. Hello there! Can you hear me? Mark says the ground was hard and it did not sink in. But the Lord wants all hard-headed people to hear the gospel anyway. He wants you to have the opportunity to hear the word of salvation. The ground was hard, it did not sink in, and the birds came and devoured the seed. Jesus later explained this part of the parable when he told the apostles that this is a seed that is sown on the hard ground. People simply do not understand it. The evil one comes. He's the old bird. He is the big perdition bird. Actually, the birds are in the plural. This no doubt indicates the many ways that the devil has of snatching that which is sown in the heart. Sometimes he snatches away that which is sown by telling people, all the Christians are hypocrites. Sometimes he snatches away that which is sown in the heart by telling people that sin is not all that bad, and besides, there's no such place as hell anyway. Other times he may do a little snatching away of the seed by telling them that the Bible is not the inspired word of God. Many unvaried are the ways that the big bird of perdition uses to snatch away that which is sown in the heart. There are some seeds of the word that he likes to snatch away more than others. Oh, how he likes to snatch away the seed of Acts 2:38. When it is sown in the heart of someone who has been told, repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many at this time will say, this part of the sermon is for the birds. Oh, how he likes to snatch away the seed of Acts 20:7. And upon the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, when the weekly observance of this memorial feast is mentioned, many are ready to say that doctrine is for the birds. Oh, how the big bird of perdition likes to snatch away the seed of Acts 11:26. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It is not said that the disciples were called Protestants or Catholics or any particular denominational name. Such a statement as that, beyond any shadow of doubt, is definitely for the birds. Then cometh the devil and snatcheth away that which is sown. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. Another place where the seed was sown was on the rocky ground. Again, notice the peculiarity of the sower. He sowed the seeds on a rock pile. Now, this is not to infer in any way that if you do not continue faithfully that you have rocks in your head. It simply means there was not much earth and grew up fast. When the sun was risen, because they had no root in themselves, it withered away. Jesus explained this action by saying this represented the people. It represented the people who were glad to hear the word, but because of persecution and tribulation, they stumble because they have no root in themselves. The gospel seed does not take root in them. But, ladies and gentlemen, other seed takes root in them. Why is it that most members of the churches can recite batting averages and scores of ball games and give minute details about various members of the Hall of Fame, and yet cannot recite even two verses of Scripture on the gospel plan of salvation? And why is it that most American young and old know the names and admire the styles of the entertainment world and could not name the apostles of Jesus? Why is it that many Christians can spend hours looking at one ball game on television after another and find no time to spend even a few minutes with the Word of God? It is because these things have taken roots in their hearts. They've taken roots in their hearts. Only by calling on the Roto-Rooter of the Holy Spirit, speaking through the reading and teaching and preaching of the Word of God, can space be found for the seed of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. These are the seed that are sown on the rocky ground. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. Behold, the sower went forth to sow, and some of the seed fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it out. When Jesus explained this soil, he said that it represented the people who heard the word, but the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choked the word, and it became unfruitful. One woman told me one time she was too busy for the work she was doing in the church. She told me, among all of her activities, that she was so busy that something had to go. And guess what? The church was it. In her view of things, the church was not even on an equal footing with the lodge, the service club, the game, the school, or anything else. There was no contest between the church and any of these things. The church was not even in the competition for her time. As far as interest was concerned, the Lord Jesus was at the bottom of the barrel. The church was at the bottom of the barrel. The gospel seed had been choked, strangled, and throttled. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. Then some seed fell on the good ground and yielded fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. It must be good to sow on soil that is all good. A sower that could manage this would be very successful and very happy. Sometimes the sower is careful where he sows. He wants to get a good reputation as a sower. He will sow only where he is guaranteed a good return. Ladies and gentlemen, the seed needs to be sown on all types of soils, in all souls. We are not to analyze the soil. Just sow the seed. Some will accomplish more than others, because God uses all kinds of people in raising the eternal harvest. Someone has said, "Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common folk like you and me are builders for eternity? To each is given a book of rules, a shapeless mass, and a bag of tools, and each must fashion ere time has flown a stumbling block or a stepping stone. God uses all kinds of people to sow the seed. Behold, the sower went forth to sow." Then the Lord tells us something about the strategy of sowing the seed. He said, "Is a lamp brought to be put under the bed?" Simply put, when you turn on the gospel lamp, don't put on the dimmer switch. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine in the classroom. Let it shine in the home. Let it shine in the jail. Let it shine in business. Let it shine in politics. Just kidding, of course. Let it shine everywhere you go, that every person you meet will take knowledge of you, that you have been with Jesus, and that the expectation of Jesus will be fulfilled in you when he said, "Ye are the light of the world." That is why we preach the gospel on the radio. We have made the transmitters of these powerful radio stations gigantic lampstands where we can put the light of the gospel and let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We must not keep the gospel a secret. Everyone ought to hear it. Everyone ought to hear the terms of pardon preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost. Many like to keep a low profile on what the Word of God has to say on this important subject. There are no doubt people in your neighborhood that don't have the foggiest idea about the New Testament church. The best kept secret in your area may very well be the gospel plan of salvation. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. Now here is a mystery about sowing the seed. The kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed on the earth and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow he knoweth not how. And the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. The sower doesn't understand how it all happens. It grows, but he can't explain it. The power is in the seed. We can't understand how it can fall on the human heart and bring forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. We don't understand, but the seed of the gospel will grow. The only explanation to the power of the seed, whether it be the gospel seed or any other kind of seed, is in the words of Paul. "I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one who gave the increase." The seed cannot be duplicated. Science has never been able to create a seed. Seeds of grain from several thousand years ago, found in Egyptian tombs, have been planted. An ancient grain grown in modern times. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And then the Lord spoke of the size of the harvest when he talked about the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, the smallest seed at that time. Yet when sown, it becomes greater than the herbs, and the birds come and lodge in the branches thereof. This is a good description of the history of the church. Consider these facts. A babe in the manger at Bethlehem, what could be a smaller beginning than that? That is the way Jesus came into the world, as a babe, but not as an angel. Next, consider the 12 apostles, all from humble beginnings, not from the ranks of the mighty ones of the world. Consider the seeming failure of his ministry on earth. Only a little more than 500 of the thousands he healed and ministered to while on earth. Then the 3,000 who responded to the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, when they were told, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then the number grew to 5,000. Then consider the statement in Revelation 7:9. "After these things, I saw and behold a great multitude which no man could number, out of every tribe and tongue and nation, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cry with a great voice, saying, Salvation unto our God, who sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. Behold, the sower went forth to sow." Now, ladies and gentlemen, these few words in conclusion. The greatest demonstration of the power of the seed is the seed of human life. In 1 Corinthians 15, in speaking of the resurrection from the dead, Paul refers to the body as a seed. "Thou sowest not the body that shall be, but a bare grain, and God giveth it a body even as it pleaseth him, and to each seed a body of its own." If we should plant the seed of a rose, not knowing what it was, we would have no idea of what a thing of beauty would come out of the ground from that dirty little speck we put in the ground. When we bury the dead body of a faithful servant of the Lord, we have no idea what a beautiful appearance the resurrected body of the Christian will be. Paul tries to put it in perspective when he says, "This body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. On that day when the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." John, in his first epistle, tells us that although we do not know what we shall be, when we see him as he is, we shall be made like him. This being true, it is well enough for us to know. The stars shine down upon the land. The stars shine on the sea. The stars shine up on God above. The stars shine down on me. The stars may shine for a million years and a day, but God and I will love and live when the stars have passed away. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The God is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell someone, somehow, and in some way, that as far as the Christian is concerned, God is just a prayer away.